This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:13 and it's the evening edition with Hezril and Kelvin. And moving on to our next story, we're talking about the role that sign language interpreters play. The government is planning to create a permanent post for sign language interpreters in all government agencies. And with that, they're being urged by MyASLI, or the Malaysian Association of Sign Language Interpreters, to ensure that those the government hires as are properly trained and accredited by deaf associations.
MyASLI President Wan Suraida Abu, who we will be speaking in just a moment too, said interpreters need to be proficient in Malaysia's sign language and they need to be ethical and respect confidentiality. She said that sign language interpreting is a profession, one that, while small, is much needed. The job also faces risks from low pay and lack of acknowledgement for its importance. She estimates that there are 90 people who are accredited with only 30 full-timers in the country.
That's right. And this is where the supply might not meet demand, because it's estimated that there's around 300 government agencies. So what this means is that the goal the government set out to have interpreters across all agencies might actually not be able to be realized in the short term.
Yeah, so it's one that we see very much so more frequently now. Mm-hmm. I think if you haven't been watching national TV for a while, now that with the amount of press conferences that we have, we always see a sign language interpreter there. And I think it's such a great thing, right? Because
it is,
it's
yeah.
helping to create and facilitate that bridge so that more Malaysians can understand what's going on in some of these very important updates that we get from the government.
Yeah, for sure. And when I look at the government conferences, press conferences and all that, I actually a lot of the time look at the sign language interpreter just to see, you know, all the different, you know, it's just amazing how they keep up with the prime minister or whether it's the health DG, and it's great to see. But it does, of course, you know, obviously there's concerns for shortages, but I think in a time where we're looking to upskill and diversify and recover from COVID-19, right, and the job woes that have gone along with it, I think this might be a good opportunity to increase opportunities for Malaysians.
Yeah, I'm quite glad that this suggestion is actually coming from the government, which means that they are recognizing the importance of the role and also giving quite a much needed spotlight to the deaf community.
For sure. And to get some direct insights on this, we're actually crossing over now to Wan Suraida Abu, Head of Sign Language Interpreting Services at the Malaysian Federation of the Deaf. Suraida, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, how are you?
It's
a pleasure.
Good.
Thank you. Right.
Lovely. So talk to us about how a person with hearing disabilities typically navigates encounters with government agencies.
Okay. First and foremost, thank you very much. Thank you very much for, giving this chance, because it's a great platform where people could actually recognize the profession as a sign language interpreter, yeah? Because deaf people do actually encounter difficulties when they actually, you know, go to any of the government interagency. Because, like, you know, there's no way to communicate. It's like, you know, they start signing and people say, it's like, you know, I don't know. How do I assist? What do I do? That kind of thing. And, you know, the other option is just like, okay, just give a paper, start writing and all. But we have to remember here that, you know, the level of education for deaf people also varies. You can have the one with highly educated, the ones like, you know, average, and also the one with low level of education, or even the one that never been to school at all. So it make it really tough for them to actually, you know, trying to actually get information, trying to get through, you know, to get assistance and also to get help and things like that. It's really tough when people don't know how to communicate with them. So they obviously would prefer if there is, like, you know, someone who could sign, if someone who could use what locally we are using, Bahasa Isyarat Malaysia, you know, they could actually communicate with them, and they could actually, like, you know, assist and support their kind of support through with the communication needs.
How feasible is that idea for the government to allocate a sign language interpreter in all ministries and agencies?
Ah, good question. It will be possible. It will be possible if they could actually create a kind of a profession, you know, create the or give a recognition to the profession. Mm. Okay, when they give recognition to the profession, we can create the profession more, you know, and make it a lucrative career as a professional sign language interpreter in the country. Don't make it look like, you know, just an interpreter, or, oh, they're just teacher or they're assistant, you know, but not looking at us like as a professional, you know, a sign language interpreter who could actually do our job well. And we know the code of ethics. We know how to actually deliver the message across, and we were able to actually use the language at certain level because we're trained to do so.
Hmm. And in what situations, perhaps, could interpreting services be prioritized?
Yes, I mean, like, when there are not many right now, and when there isn't, a section of government agencies that could provide interpreting services. So it's like they could start first with help. That is the main thing that, deaf people would need assistance a lot for health, family matters, for education, at workplace. These are the things that they actually need priority. You know, it's like they want to find work. They have to work. It's like right now, you know, if they're losing job, they want to find work. And it's like, what's happening? They go like, why am I not allowed? Why am I not working anymore? Why is my salary being cut? Why am I out of job? That kind of thing. Like, who's going to explain to them all that? It's like, you know, survival is like the main thing right now. Everyone would actually compete and everyone wants to get jobs. But who is actually helping them through? You know, that kind of thing. So it's actually, that is like, you know, if we could actually prioritize education, work, family, and also the health section is the main thing. Because when they go to the hospital, they need that help, someone to assist them to communicate with the doctors. Or even if, let's say, with this COVID situation, if they have to go for the simple checkup, it's like, oh, I'm not feeling well, I'm having fever and all. So they thought that it's just the usual light fever, things like that, or just encountering fever. But they don't know, actually, you know, it could be, oh, it's like you have to go for checkup. You need to find out what is the, you know, symptom and what are the things. So who could help them with that? It's like, you know, if they're on their own.
Yeah, and I guess just on that note, right, and maybe this is also why the role of interpreters is so crucial. We have this question from Cheryl Akma that asks, what about gadgets and apps for the deaf community? I'm sure it'll help to ease these services for the deaf community. How do these two things work together, right? The gadgets and the apps that we have today together with the role of the interpreter?
In a way, it's like gadgets, application actually could help. If it's like gadget and application is actually at par right now. It's like we're talking again, like, you know, how are the apps made available? Are they actually kind of like applicable? Are they matching with the sign language that is Bahasa Isyarat Malaysia that could actually assist them more? And when you talk about communicating via writing or even through email and things like that, they themselves need to be at certain level of education in it, you know, to be able to communicate, to comprehend better. So this kind of thing is still kind of like missing gap, yeah? So they still actually would need a sign language interpreter's help, you know, and if it's available there, they just go and they use the sign language and someone could assist them to actually, you know, walk through with them to meet the professional, to meet the doctors or the lawyers or even whoever that they are dealing with. So it'd be like, you know, they would not, you know, they would not feel like left out, but they will feel like very much at par with everyone. So as a citizen of the country, and then when you talk about inclusion, so how do we actually include them into the society if the, you know, communication is a barrier for them?
Right. And so there are currently not enough accredited interpreters in the country. Why do we have so little accredited interpreters?
It's sad to say, and I have to say it somehow, it's like because the salary isn't attractive at all.
Mm.
That's why I say if you can create a kind of like lucrative career as a professional sign language interpreter and you can create more jobs within, I mean, in the country, that will be a great thing. And pay us well, pay us equivalently as much as, you know, our skills, I mean, the skill that we possess. So this kind of thing, actually, there's a lot of awareness and education to be done also at the same time. We kind of like have to educate the public. It's like, what are our role as sign language interpreters? Yeah, and if you actually wanted to employ interpreters, I mean, sign language interpreters, you don't say like, we couldn't afford to pay you. We don't have budget for it. So what do you talk about equality? Where, I mean, like government signed for the United Nations Convention on Human Rights for People with Disabilities. Okay, and we have ACTA OKU. So all this, actually, we wanted to kind of like narrow the gap so that deaf people could be actually, you know, into the society, part of the society. So then we talk about inclusion and it worked very well.
What are the challenges to learning to become an interpreter?
To me, it's like, you know, when you want to learn the language, it's just like learning any other languages, yeah? You have the passion for it, you could just go for it. It will, you know, you will pick it up very fast because you have the, you know, passion and interest. And secondly, is you have the heart. You have the heart to support and assist other people. That's the main thing, actually. It's not that, to me, it's not that difficult. Because if you really are passionate about learning sign language, to learn about the community, to understand the culture, the differences of it, and then you put the code of ethics as a professional interpreter, you would not have, you know, you would not actually find it difficult, but you find it very interesting.
Right, and what are the challenges to become an interpreter? How rigorous is the process when it comes to receiving proper accreditation?
Okay. Currently, the accreditation is actually been done by the Malaysian Federation of the Deaf with the the MQA, Malaysian Qualifying Board. It's like, through MQA, we have the diploma course with university, private university. So the accreditation been given this way, and the certification that comes out from this diploma program for sign language interpreter are actually, should I say, like it's equivalent to any other public university. So you're learning it in a private university, but the accreditation and recognition is actually equivalent to the public university. So it's not that tough if the Malaysian Federation is running the program. And they are actually organization of the deaf for the deaf. So they should be able, I mean, like, government would actually look upon that as a stakeholder, and they're fighting for their right to have the communication barrier, you know, lessened and or even to remove it completely so that they'll be part of the society.
Zuraida, I just want to go back to a point you brought up earlier when we were talking about challenges. And you yourself, you find a lot of rewards in being able to do this role because you see it as a sort of duty. If I could get a bit personal, what was one moment that stood out for you in your years in working in this line that made you think, wow, this is why I'm doing this?
Oh, okay. For me, it's like I started first and foremost, it's like, I can hear practically everything. People gossiping, people laughing, people talking, and I could actually listen to music. I could actually do I mean, like, by standing here, I could actually catch a lot of things, but deaf people are not getting a single thing. So I was like, well, it's like, why not share with them what I can hear, what I actually obtain through my hearing, actually to provide it so that they could also benefit from being here. And you start to share with them to say that, do you know that they're talking about this, about that? And say, do you know that they commented, hey, deaf people look good, but it's a pity they can't hear. And you're like, wow, they're using handphone, but how do they do it when they cannot hear? You know, that kind of like, you know, we find it very funny because we pretend to be deaf too, but actually we're pretending to be the ear for the deaf and let them know what other people are talking about them.
Right. Zuraida, thanks so much for joining us.
You're most welcome. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. That was one Zuraida Abu, head of sign language interpreting services at the Malaysian Federation of the Deaf. Keep your thoughts coming on sign language interpreters as an occupation or any of our previous stories. Do keep them coming. We're now headed to the 7:30 news. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.